Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the CTTechJunkie.com podcast. Today, we're joined by another local tech innovator, and that is Mark Lassoff from LearnToProgram.tv. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey, Lon. How you doing?
Thanks for coming on the show. We're really excited to talk to you because we're in this era now where everybody wants a website. Everybody wants to customize things. It's kind of an exciting time in that there's so much open source code that's freely available that people can take and edit and make adjustments to any which way they wish. But of course, you have to learn how to do it. So what you've been doing is putting together a website tutorial business to help people kind of get up to speed on some of these latest technologies. So why don't you talk about how the business came about, how you found your way into it, and I guess now you're doing this as a full-time occupation and not doing much programming of your own anymore. Is that right?
Yeah, I actually turn away a lot of programming work and development work. And, you know, the reason that I turn it away is because I really want to focus on the training business. I've been in and out of corporate technical training for the past 10 years and still actually to some degree do trainings at large companies for federal governments, state governments, surrounding issues that are important to programmers, moving programmers over into the mobile arena, for example, doing iPhone, iOS training, and training for development on the Android platform are a couple of things that I do. So it was kind of a natural move into this type of business, which is more consumer-oriented, in which case we're providing online courses for people who want to learn to program, hence the name of the company is Learn to Program. And so what I saw really was kind of a hole in the market that we could fill. Professional courses, if you were to go take a corporate training course at a training center, usually cost somewhere upwards of $3,500 a week. I know that's what my open enrollment courses cost in Vegas and New York. So, you know, for the average business owner, average consumer, that's really, for two reasons, not doable. One is the week away from work, when they should be building their business or at their business or operating their business. And second is the cost is pretty high for new business owners. So we wanted to come in with a course-like product that costs the same as a book on the shelf at Barnes & Noble. So our courses run between $50 and $200. The $200 course is actually three courses in one, and give people full training in a computer language or web development skill set that's important today for people who are doing any type of web development, mobile development, etc.
And I see that you on your YouTube channel, we're playing it under your voice right now, that there are some free courses available so people can get a feel for how it works.
Yeah, we you know, one, believe that you know, everything shouldn't cost some money. You know, you should be able to get some training on your own, and we want to provide quality training for free on YouTube. But two, you know, we find that it whets people's appetite and that YouTube becomes a good source of business for us as people arrive from, you know, YouTube onto our website or onto one of our other web properties.
And what kind of changes have you seen in the business? You know, we're in an era now where, you know, it used to be, and maybe to some degree on the mobile development side, you still have to kind of program top to bottom. But, you know, certainly on the website where you've got great projects like WordPress and Drupal, where you can build a website, have all that code available to you. Are people coming to you looking to more or less modify open source code, or are they looking really to start from scratch to kind of get the whole ball rolling with something completely customized that they want to do themselves?
I think it's some of both. You know, a lot of the people come to us because they want to learn to program. They want to have the basic hands-on skills to do anything they want. And it's still important to have those skills within the context of WordPress or Joomla or something like that. Because if you're going to manipulate the content on the page, understand the whole WordPress approach to managing your documents and managing your website, you've still got to understand the basic skills of HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. And actually, those are our most popular courses. So some of our students do use those skills and go on to use WordPress or some other content management system. And then some others will use, you know, the skills directly and just hand code sites and web applications.
And how did you start the business? You know, you're in Vernon, Connecticut, so not considered the Silicon Valley of
Vernon, Connecticut.
Right, beautiful Vernon, Connecticut, home of one of the best delis in the state, if I'm not mistaken. But you know, when you started, you know, you're not in Silicon Valley, you're not in New York City, you're not in any of the hotbeds of web development. You know what? You know why Vernon? I guess you live there. So, but what was special about Connecticut that allows you to do this? Is it just the fact that your business can operate anywhere?
Right. I mean, the business could operate anywhere. I mean, I lived in Austin, Texas, which is one of the hotbeds of development, for around 15 years. I went to school there as well. And, you know, I worked for large IT service providers. I worked for a Fortune 500 in Austin. So, you know, I've kind of been there and done that. And one thing Austin has that's nice is a very supportive tech entrepreneurial community, which is great when you are first starting out. But, you know, I'm fond of saying it's not my first rodeo, and I've got an adorable niece and nephew and loads of lifetime friends here. I grew up in Trumbull and Westport. So, you know, coming back to Connecticut and coming to the Hartford area seemed very, very natural for me because this feels and more like home. When I lived in Texas, I always was fond of saying I felt, you know, more comfortable in a room full of strangers in LaGuardia Airport than a room full of friends in Texas. It's home, and it's where I choose to be. And Connecticut is, I think, a good place to start a business. I found a number of advantages here.
And what are those advantages?
I think first and foremost is the quality of potential employees. We are bringing on another full-time employee. We've already got one and a couple of contract employees. And I got to tell you, the quality of people we get here is absolutely terrific. They've had the benefit of excellent Connecticut schools and generally a populace that's interested in education. So to me, that's the number one benefit, is just the quality of employee that you get here, people who are serious about work and serious about business. The proximity to New York City and Boston really is very, very good. I have a lot of clients in New York City. It's easy to get in and see them for the day and not have to drive my car in and stress myself out about driving in Manhattan. And I think third, there is a comfort level here with small business that may not exist elsewhere. I think there's a strong tradition of small business here in Connecticut. You know, it's something is comforting about seeing, you know, the oil company we used in 1978 still has the trucks on the road with the same logo and same insignia. You know, the service providers that we used in Trumbull when we first moved here, and that was in 1978, many of them are still in business now with you know, the same people still running the companies or their children running the companies. And I think that tradition is really undervalued here. You know, having lived in Texas that doesn't have that kind of spirit of small business, I think there's a difference in the overall attitude of the state, and it's palpable.
And I guess there's been a real change in what people consider entrepreneurship these days, in that, you know, we've talked on Twitter a little bit about, and I know you've been certainly outspoken in some of your communication online about the fact that in many cases so much attention is brought to what you call the lottery winners, people like the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world who just happen to, you know, hit it in the right way at the right time and became billionaires. But that's really few and far between for anyone in business, and certainly in the web development business. So, you know, where do you think the investment community is going in the wrong direction? Certainly it's trying to build corporations or build the exit where the entrepreneur can cash out, and the thought of building a business that actually has some revenue is maybe not always the first objective. So what are you seeing as someone who's training a lot of these folks to what are you telling them, and what are you trying to impart upon them?
Well, you know, first I'll say that, I mean, you know, the venture investment, angel investment, is a legitimate way to build and start a business. It's the cross section of that style of fundraising and a high risk idea based business that is solely an idea and doesn't have necessarily an audience, employees, etc. That's what Connecticut is counting on, versus looking at your established small businesses. You know, I started this business in September. We are profitable. We are employing people. We are, you know, have grown month over month at a rate that's absolutely staggering. And I started it with my own money and not a lot of it, to be honest with you. So, you know, that type of growth to me is preferable. And chances are, because we've already built an audience of over 5,000 students, numerous corporate clients, et cetera, that are already part of the business, our chance of long-term survival is a lot better than, you know, the latest idea to have your friends show up at the bar at the same time you do via Android. But Connecticut is betting on the latter. They're betting on the fact that we can establish some very high growth venture backed businesses here that will eventually employ a lot of people. That's great if we do. Chances are, though, it's not going to happen. There are only so many success stories of the latest business being purchased by, you know, Facebook for $1 billion. So I'd like to see the state invest more in, and I'm not saying, you know, drop what we're doing altogether. I think, you know, that type of business is important and certainly should be part of the portfolio, but also invest in the bootstrapped businesses where the owners and entrepreneurs put their own money on the line and, you know, invested their own money, their own time, and started and built something that's actually already working. My main gripe is that these startups, which are something just occasionally, you know, just an idea and sometimes just a bad idea, are getting access to these innovation centers, which provide all sorts of in-kind resources that may not be available to a business like mine because we don't have necessarily a business plan for high growth and venture investment. You know, we don't have access to that yet. We're already contributing to the state tax-wise and job-wise, but we get left out. Now, there are resources for small businesses like mine, but not the type of investment that the state is putting into these venture-backed businesses with these innovation centers, et cetera. So I find it a little frustrating because there's more than one way to start a business, and I'm a big believer in bootstrapping. I heard years ago at a talk that was given by three successful entrepreneurs in Austin, one of whom had started the Sound Blaster company, one of whom had started a company that cloned Max. All three had successful exits from their companies. And he said, you know, they were all working now on the venture side, the funding side. And they said, you know, when you are an entrepreneur, the one thing you should keep in mind about investors is many of them feel like it's never too early to fire the founder. Well, good luck firing me. I own 95% of this business, so it just ain't going to happen. I keep my business and keep the profitability with relatively little risk. You know, I think I have the perfect business that the state could provide in-kind resources to versus, you know, something that's just kind of an idea for an application that, you know, might take off on iPhone, but, you know, in reality probably won't.
And what kind of advice do you give to people? Because obviously you're providing some training for people that maybe have that next big idea. You know, we certainly hear from a lot of people with ideas about some app that they think could change the world. And most of the time they don't, just because there's so many people with competing interests out there. Say people come to you and say, hey, Mark, I got the best idea ever. You know, I just bought your training videos. I'm going to your boot camp in Las Vegas to learn how to get my programming skills honed. You know, what advice do you have for people that are starting businesses? I mean, should they give away their whole company? Like I think of Dropbox, where the guy owns maybe 20% of his company now, right? Yet he still shows up to work for 18 hours a day. What do you say to people? And I mean, is it looking at an idea that maybe is not so social networky, and looking at something a little bit more sustainable? What do you suggest people do?
I suggest people with a programming background, really, you know, technical co-founders are at a premium. You know, if you are on the programming side, I would suggest, you know, partnering with someone with the business acumen. I think the most important thing for people who have a good idea that has potential is to make sure they've got a team in place that can both execute technically and execute on the business side. And usually that's not the same person. So if you're the person with a good idea and tech experience, find someone with an experience, you know, with the experience on the business side and fundraising. And, you know, prepare for the ride, you know, belt yourself in. I happen to think a lot of the current system that we have is, you know, presentation skills and luck. You know, I mean, a lot of venture investors will talk about, you know, well, you know, I invested based on some type of gut feeling. So you've got to have someone on your team who's able to render that gut feeling among investors. You know, as far as ideas, it's really impossible to tell what's going to take off next. Some ideas, you know, look, are fly. If you want to know if an idea is bad, just ask me. I'll tell you. There's a lot of
full service. You give the honest assessment, right? If they come to you with the next greatest thing, if it isn't the next greatest thing, you're going to tell them, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, stop asking the people who love you and start asking people who don't care about you. You know, your mother is going to tell you it's a good idea in all likelihood. You know, I'm not. There's a lot of groups out there for people with potential entrepreneurial ideas, and some of them are more honest than others. Some of them will flat out tell you that's awful. And, you know, some of them, if you think your idea is good, will provide, you know, resources, support, connections, etc. I can tell you one thing. If you have to describe your idea in terms of something that's already running, it's probably not a good idea. You know, for example, if you have to describe your idea as the Facebook for realtors or something, or the, you know, the you know, if you're describing in terms of an already successful website or web property, it's probably not that original, probably not that good. You know, the LinkedIn for this or something. Those ideas almost never pan out.
Right, because that space is completely saturated. So, you know, I say to people too that, you know, you're not going to be the next Facebook, you're not going to be the next Google. So find something that interfaces with those ecosystems as opposed to trying to recreate the wheel, because it's just not going to happen at this stage.
And what's wrong, Lon, with building a business that maybe employs 20, 30 people that's sustainable? You can make a lot of money with a small business, and, you know, own 100% of it, not be you know, not be at the beck and call of investment groups or co-owners or anything along those lines. You know, that's a very, very good business model. There's a lot of people living in very nice homes in Connecticut who own small businesses that, you know, started by themselves or started with two people that have just grown into a very sustainable, good-sized business. And, you know, that's Connecticut's, you know, one of Connecticut's biggest employment sectors, I believe, is small businesses like that that don't employ a lot of people. And that's really where our state can see some growth if we were to continue to invest in that, invest in what we've been good at, which is in growing these small, even family-owned businesses, but some of which have yielded, you know, a great deal of revenue for the number of employees that they have.
Well, Mark, thank you for joining us today. And it sounds like your business is already off and running, and you're hiring and you're training people. You're keeping yourself busy. I know we've had between both of our busy schedules, a hard time getting this interview set up, and I'm glad we finally got around to doing it. If people want to learn more about what you do, where can they find you?
LearnToProgram.tv is our website. So just LearnToProgram.tv. We're, of course, on Google Plus, just myname.com, marklassoff.com. You can find the correct spelling on our website. LinkedIn, you know, pretty much any of the social networking sites, facebook.com/learntoprogram.tv. We're try and be everywhere. That's our main strategy as far as our marketing, is to try and be, you know, ever present. YouTube as well. Learntoprogram.tv is the best place to start. And I'd love to see some of the people who are listening today in one of our classes.
Well, we thank you again for joining us. And next week, we're going to be down at SpaceX at the Kennedy Space Center and the Cape Canaveral Air Force Station. We're going to be there, hopefully, for a launch that will be taking place this weekend. So we'll hopefully, because sometimes schedules change and rockets get delayed because it is rocket science. But we hope to have some launch pad tours and some other great stuff from this weekend. So thanks for joining us, and we will be back again next week.